Hey everyone, this is Mark Bonner and you're listening to Under the Abbey Stand, brought to you in partnership with Shout. Shout is a free, confidential, 24/7 text messaging support service for anyone struggling to cope. If life ever feels like it's getting too much, you can anonymously text 85258 anytime, day or night, and speak to a trained volunteer for mental health support. Enjoy the pod.
Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm Jack Swindlehurst, and today we'll look back at the back down to earth with a bump visit to Bolton, as well as talking United's injury woes and new faces before looking ahead to Saturday's big FA Cup clash against Luton Town. Joining me today are Tom Walker. Hello.
Good evening. How are we doing?
Yeah, all good, thank you. And Matt Caspell.
Hello, Jack. Hello, gents. How are we?
Good to be back. So you two gents made the enviable trip up to Bolton. We came back empty-handed. Matt, how was Tuesday night's game?
Maybe a collective reality check for everybody. We've been floating on a bit of a cloud for the last few weeks since that Newcastle game. Fantastic performances and some great results. I think obviously it was a pretty tricky evening for us. I'm not buying the opinion that I see all over that we played massively poorly. I actually think we did quite well with the squad we have and the players we've got available. I just think we just came up a bit short against a team that's probably in a bit of a false position in the table, who were absolutely brilliant on the night, particularly moving the ball forward. They looked a whole other level, one of the probably most significant attacking, threatening teams that I've seen us play this season. So, I don't feel too bad about it. I think we need to bounce back and I'm sure we'll get back on track soon.
Yeah, not the best result in the end. I mean, Cambridge United weren't in the game really at the beginning, but came into it, Tom. And then, goals at important times for Bolton. But how did you see it on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think I'd echo bits of what Matt's just said there, to be honest. It was a bit of a strange watch, to be honest, because for all of the possession and all of the times that they sort of got in behind the fullbacks, Bolton, even in like the first half, we probably had the better chance to actually go ahead. I think it was Smith who hit the post. And I haven't seen it back yet, unfortunately, but I still feel like in the sort of melee afterwards, we had a pretty decent shout for a penalty, which you know, obviously wasn't given. Clearly, that doesn't tell the full story, though. First half, we were quite comprehensively outplayed, I thought. Matt's absolutely right to say that Bolton in a false position. Just like they did last season, they had a bit of an iffy start and some pretty impressive January recruitment has made them a team that, if they hadn't left it this late, I think you'd have a decent bet on for perhaps making the top six. I mean, as it is, I feel like they're maybe just a little bit far away. There's probably a few too many decent teams in between them and that for now. But I thought, again, like it's obviously a theme that we've spoken about week after week, but like the sort of resilience and the sort of doggedness of this team to just kind of stick with the task at hand was quite impressive. Given that Bolton are coming off the back of absolutely dismantling Sunderland, to go in at halftime 1-0 down, right, it's disappointing because we're behind, but the sort of pressure that we were under is probably no bad thing. And on another night, you know, we had a decent amount of possession, particularly at the start of the second half. We maybe get an equaliser and it's a completely different game. So I think we knew coming into this season that there were going to be instances, particularly away from home, where we come up against opposition who just quite simply are better than we are, have more quality than we do. And if it's bits of quality like Afellay's finish for the second goal and the sort of little flick that, started the move for the first goal, then I think I can live with that. I think I'm fairly happy with that. And the end of the day and the sort of, I guess, big thing that maybe we would look at as Cambridge fans is that you look at the results that happen below us and there's one less game to play and we're still exactly the same points away from the relegation zone. So, albeit a disappointing result because we lost, we'll probably end the evening in a, I guess, theoretically a better position.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, not the end of the world. And like you say, a team that's just demolished Sunderland 6-0 to go up against and go toe-to-toe with, it's certainly a positive. But Matt, there aren't all positives from last night, of course. You know, key times, key things happened. And we've got to talk about injuries. So obviously, Ironside, we were without him last night. But Jack Iredale going off injured towards the end of the first half. Just how big a miss is that going to prove for Cambridge?
I mean, he's an absolutely outstanding player. I think he's been our player of the season. So there is no way you can express it to say that it's not a really big loss for us. I also think last night, I know they were having a lot of trouble in the fullback areas, but actually on the ball, I think Iredale, he took a few risks, maybe you might say, but actually I think that was a big part of our game plan, actually, was we were taking quite a lot of risks with the ball last night, moving the ball around. I think Iredale was doing that particularly well, carrying the ball out from centre-back. There's definitely a moment before he got injured where he sort of rolled around his man and it was a little bit, felt a bit dicey from the away end, but he obviously knew what he was doing and he had complete control. It's just a massive shame for him on a personal level as well, because he's having absolutely the best season of his career. And it looked like one of those where, I mean, I'll admit I was berating him a bit, because it stresses me out when players, when they go down, when it's not a head injury, and just stay on your feet and just do what you can and just hobble around. But clearly he was obviously in a bit of pain and he was gone. In terms of how much of a loss it is, I think because of the position he plays and because we've got Sam Schering to cover, who's doing all right, he's doing just fine, I think we'll be okay. So positionally, it's not the worst thing to lose a centre-back with the cover we have. I think we'd have a bigger problem right now if we were losing maybe a centre midfielder or a striker even, because we would be very short. So the reassuring thing is we've got decent cover in Schering. But hopefully, obviously, he's not out too long, and hopefully we see some of the other lads who are out also coming back in the next few weeks.
Yeah, certainly interesting to see kind of how Cambridge United react to that, Tom. You know, Matt makes a good point there about having cover, but do you think that Mark Bonner / the club could have added, you know, more players in the defensive positions during the window?
Yeah, to echo a now famous quote from an episode that we recorded a couple of years ago, I think hindsight's a wonderful thing. I know there'll be people who were saying that you know, we should have done this and should have done that, but I think the transfer window shuts and I think most people are fairly happy with what we've done. I think, if anything, there's maybe murmurings of discontent that we didn't maybe sign another forward, I think is maybe the one area that people were talking about. I think we sort of felt the centre-back was covered, and it's just kind of sod's law, I think, that not 24 hours after the transfer window shuts, our player of the season, who's been playing at centre-back, picks up what looks to be a knock, you know? And that can happen in football, but that's why you sign guys like Sam Schering. Yeah, I think it would be a little bit revisionist to sit here and say that we should have done this, we should have done that, because, you know, we came into the window saying we need a bit of cover at centre-back, we need a bit of cover at centre-forward, and we've done that. And, yeah, obviously it's just frustrating that it's Iredale that's got injured on the night, and, yeah, we may be without him for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely so. Before we look at what was missing and who we were missing last night, just a word on the new signing, Tolaj. I might be saying that right, or I might be butchering it, Matt. But yeah, new lad, young Brighton forward, obviously made his debut last night coming on. What did you make of the little you saw of him?
So I'm going to start calling him LT. I'm going to sidestep the surname completely, because I realise I haven't listened to any coverage or any interviews to understand how we're supposed to say this guy's name. So LT. The guy's obviously pretty green, I'll say that. It's completely unfair, obviously, to judge someone you're 2-0 down, you've just been thrown on into a game to salvage something is a pretty difficult situation. I wasn't blown away, I will not lie, if I'm being honest. But again, I think extremely sort of difficult situation for him to have a really big impact in that time. I think what I will say is he looked pretty mobile. He was definitely working very hard and he was definitely very keen to impress. I think his enthusiasm to get on the ball and impress is probably the reason he maybe got a bit excited and played it right off the side of the pitch a few times. Like any signing, really, I think we've got to give him a bit of time to settle in and see a bit more about him. He probably needs to at some point obviously start a game, which I assume he'll get an opportunity to do at some stage. So fingers crossed, he's got a really good rep. Like all of the Brighton fans believe that he's a real prospect. I think we are just going to have to wait and see, but for sure coming on in that situation is definitely not easy. I think around him as well last night, what we saw was a lot of tired players who, I think one of the balls he slipped through was to Williams, which maybe Williams after 10 minutes of the game, he's got the legs, he's got the gas to get onto it. I think after the work rate we'd had to display last night, I just think it was too much of an ask. So we're talking about players who I think have played now 9 games so far this year, 9 games in about 30 days. So that's pretty demanding. Let's see what happens with LT and see what he's got in his locker when he gets a bit more game time.
Yeah, very little to judge him on Tuesday night. Tom, obviously, he could get a feature against Luton, but looking at our forward kind of group, obviously, Ironside, a huge miss. How did we fare, you know, without Ironside and how, you know, the setup, how did it really work on Tuesday?
I think Bolton was probably the worst game that we could have had without Joe Ironside, to be honest, because, you know, we know well from last season the unit that sits at centre-back, Ricardo Santos. Ironside would have had a tough evening there, I think, albeit I think he would have made more of an impact maybe than the other guys did. So I don't mean to kind of do Nibs or Smith down, but it was a bit of a non-contest for Santos. I mean, there were so many times where, you know, let alone winning ahead, and they couldn't even run round the guy. So it was, I think a tough evening in that respect. Although on a positive note, I feel like at times we showed better intent to play a different way without Ironside, which I think was lacking a little bit from what would have been the Fleetwood game, I guess, and probably the Crewe game as well. Where it looked a little bit like we were just trying to play the same way, but without someone who plays a completely different game to either the two strikers that were sort of replacing him. I feel like they kind of did as well as they could. I mean, it's obviously not easy against Bolton. Smith still managed to get in a couple of good areas. I think Nibs managed to do some decent work out wide. But I think overall just a tough evening, you know, particularly when for large spells of that game, the play was happening pretty much down the other end of the pitch.
Yeah, certainly. Not an easy game, certainly, to adapt when you've had a system going all season. And we're not here to dig people out, Matt, but just a word on James Brophy in the Bolton game and what maybe he could have done better and, you know, maybe where he was lacking just in relation to the goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've spent all year so far defending Brophy and I think he's had an outstanding sort of last 2-3 months. Going all the way back to even that hard run of games like Charlton away, who's particularly good. Pompey at home, obviously, in my opinion, he drew a red card out of Pompey. It didn't materialise, but I'm pretty sure the guy should have been sent off. Maybe even two of them with the play that Brophy was kind of engineering. Last night was really difficult for him for two reasons, I think. So obviously one, as Tom rightly pointed out there, great to see we showing better signs of adapting our style of play. So one thing we didn't do last night, which is great, is just sort of lump the ball at Smith and Nibs and just cross our fingers and hope. However, what that also required was a lot of different ways of playing across the entire pitch. I think Brophy did all right, but where he struggled again was this situation we saw once or twice at Fleetwood as well. And we've seen earlier in the season where great at picking up the ball, makes himself available, which a lot of other players don't necessarily do. He's always there and he's always willing to have a go. Makes great progress down the touchline. You think this is actually going quite well. And it's that point, it's a bit classic football fan. It's like, just keep going, gets the byline and swing it across. However, I would say very clear, either he's been asked not to do that or decided not to do that. So he found himself cutting inside and going on those. It all starts to get a bit thready at this point. He goes sometimes a bit meandering into centre of the pitch. And I just think because of the amount of work we were having to put in defensively last night, we just didn't have the bodies around him. in that situation, I want to see one of Smith or Nibs really, or even both, making themselves really available to pick up the ball. And I'm not sure that's quite happening either. So I think there's just a few misconnections for him. With the goal, it's just a really poor mistake, to be honest. It's unfortunate that it's bounced up onto his right foot, because he's not showed much two-footedness in the entire time he's been with us. And for the ball to bounce up the way it did, and he also had quite a lot of time before it even got into that situation. So I think he kind of let things build up on him a bit, and the pressure got to him a little. There were mistakes around it from other places. And the thing is, never one person in isolation. So we take the corner. It's a pretty poor set piece. Hits the first man. They get a great header to clear it. Brophy obviously is the main mistake. Has to do a lot better there. Just do anything off the side of the pitch. Like, doesn't even have to be pretty. Even if he just catches the ball with both hands, a bit like when Adam May at Newcastle just sort of fell on top of the ball. Like, do anything except what you've done there, and everything will be all right. After that, I mean, they do obviously really well. Afflan does really well to his finish. I mean, he hits the ball bloody hard. There's no way you're going to stop that. If you're being massively critical, it's probably unfair, but maybe Okadina could do a little bit more when he cuts inside, just to hold him up a bit more. Like, don't show him onto his strong foot. Try and push him down the outside. But we're getting a bit nitpicking at that point. The obvious sort of 90% of the issue was the mistake that Brophy made. So it's a difficult one for him, for sure. Hopefully that doesn't sort of set the tone for the agenda that is seemingly building up against him.
Yeah, certainly there is plenty of fan agendas floating about regarding certain players and certain setups for Cambridge United. But I think we all know the main agenda going forward for Cambridge United. But anyway, the less said about that, the better. So yeah, as you said, as much as it was a tough result to take, still 9 points above the relegation zone, only 13 away from the playoffs as well. And those bottom four teams have 4 wins between them in their last 20 games combined. So certainly Cambridge United in a good position. Next league games, travelling to Gillingham next Tuesday and then to Burton the following Saturday for hosting Accrington Stanley. So there's points to be had for Cambridge United, and hopefully not too long before we welcome Big Joe back. Before we dissect how Cambridge United will line up against Luton Town and the following games, we're going to take a break. And I caught up with Dave Gregory from Oh When the Town podcast and looked ahead to our fourth round FA Cup clash with Luton Town.
I'm Jack Idell. You're listening to Under the Abbey Stand, and Jack Swindlehurst is definitely a Carlisle fan.
Right, I'd like to welcome Dave Gregory from Oh When the Town podcast. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. No problem at all.
Yeah, certainly interesting to be back playing Luton again. But before we get into that, just a little look at your season so far. Ninth in the Championship, 3 points off the playoffs. So you must be pretty happy with how the season's going so far.
It's been a ride, I can tell you that for the starter. Yeah, 3 points off the playoffs with the game in hand of some teams as well. So, yeah, we're delighted about our form, delighted where we are. And since we got back to the Championship, we've just been getting better every season. So it's brilliant. It's literally brilliant.
Yeah, very interesting to see kind of a pretty good January by all accounts from yourselves, and then a good win away on Tuesday. I saw Nathan Jones celebrating there. What's your opinion on him as a manager?
Well, look, we all know what he did when he left us. He left us at a time where we were just about to face one of the toughest games of the season away at Sunderland. He went, and who wouldn't go for that money at a different club? It's, you know, it was a big contract for him. So when he left, it was tainted. We subsequently, as you know, got promoted. And then when he came back, he literally saved our club from going down. I think on our podcast, I think we spoke to Nick Owen, and he said it was like a mini tournament when he came back behind closed doors. So he had that time to settle in. I tell you now, his passion for our club, he brings players to our club. He's very passionate. And I think those fans that were against him coming back are warming to him a bit more now. And his celebration on Tuesday night is typically him saying thanks to the fans that were at Swansea, tucked right at the back of the stand. You know, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Long journey to go on a Tuesday, and good result to come away with. So good preparation for this weekend's FA Cup game. Just before that, last round, you beat Harrogate pretty comfortably, and always nice to get through in the FA Cup. Old Cambridge United player Luke Berry getting the fourth in that game. So just with, you know, looking at potential, you know, playoff interest for Luton, is the FA Cup something you're interested in this season, or is it a bit of an unwanted distraction?
Oh, absolutely not. I think Nathan's made that that statement already. He wants to go as far as he can in the FA Cup. Now, when we played Harrogate, it was, I don't want to be disrespectful because it does, what I'm about to say does sound it, but it, we didn't get out of second gear really. Harrogate, you know, if you underestimate your opposition in the FA Cup, maybe as Newcastle might have done, you know, you get slapped. So against Harrogate, we did what we had to do. And once we got one goal, two or three were coming. Berry, it was great to see Berry back on the pitch and scoring. So I would expect us to put out our strongest available team. I would be very disappointed if he played, you know, not our strongest available team. But we have some injuries at the moment. So I suspect that we're going to go for it.
Yeah, certainly interesting to see. So 5:30 on Saturday at the Abbey in Cambridge, Cambridge United Luton, fourth round of the FA Cup. As you said, probably looking to put one of your strongest teams out. I suppose you won't really know too much about Cambridge United other than maybe what you've seen on the TV this season.
Well, I'm going to be totally honest with you. When we're in the same division, I'd know everything about Cambridge United, but at the moment, I watched the Newcastle performance and I thought that was amazing. What an amazing day out for you guys that would have been. And thoroughly deserved when you look back at the game, to be fair. And I think we've probably been both sitting there going, oh, let's get a nice big tie. And now we've come out with each other. And I think both teams are sitting there and go, well, this is winnable. So I don't know, you know, I think, what are you, 13th in the table, 14th, that area?
Just a little bit, yeah, around there, 12th, I think, at the moment.
Sure, yeah. And performances-wise, I mean, I see the results occasionally, but to be fair, I didn't really even look at it today, even before talking to you. So sad, that's a bit sad, really, isn't it?
No, not at all. But it's certainly, like you said, we were looking for that big draw, or, you know, the big Premier League draw or whatever. And then, you know, from both points of view, I think both teams will think it's winnable. And then, you know, a big draw the next round. So looking ahead to the game, obviously it's quite hard to call, not necessarily knowing too much about the other team. But yeah, if you think you're going to set up, who would be your key players? If, you know, injuries aside, who are you going to be your key players on Saturday?
Well, if we turn up with Adebayo up front, then you guys might struggle. I mean, he's a decent, decent striker. He's knocking them in for fun at the moment. But he's been out. He's been a little bit injured since we played, I think, it might have been Bournemouth, actually. But he's on fire. Cornick's just back, so he's one to look out for. And he scored against Swansea, and it was a terrific goal. I generally think that Berry's going to start. And I think Berry is still a quality player. So any one of those. And maybe our new keeper that we got on loan from Jed Steer. So maybe. So it's just hard to predict when you don't know what he's going to do. But I feel that we're very strong in depth with our squad. So I would, you know, say we'd give you a good game with whoever we put out. But for me, if Adebayo is playing, or maybe even Clark, because he's coming back from injury, they would be two players to watch, Adebayo in particular.
Yeah, certainly looking like it's going to be a good attendance and a well-fought game. So certainly interested to see who comes out on top. Cambridge United themselves, a couple of injuries as well. So certainly interesting to see how both teams line up and who comes out stronger. If I had to push you for a prediction for Saturday's score and result, what would it be?
Well, you can push me for a prediction because I will vote for my own team, obviously. Mm-hmm. Are we going straight to pens on this round or not, if it's extra time and all that stuff, or is it just no replay, right?
No replay, that's right, yeah.
Well, in which case then, I think we can do the job and win 2-0. And I think that, I mean, there's quite a few of our supporters that are coming down thinking the same, but they're always good games when we come to your place, always. Mm-hmm. And I've always had great fun coming over. So obviously I'm going to cheer for my own team. And I'm going to say, I would like to think we could put a result in there, but I'm not saying that with any arrogance whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. It'll certainly be good to have you back at the Abbey, and it's sure to be a good game. Listen, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Awesome. All the best.
Yeah, enjoy the game.
Great to hear from Dave there. Thanks again for joining us. So, yeah, kind of turning our attentions now, still riding that Newcastle wave as far as the FA Cup's concerned, Tom. And I think when we got the draw through with Luton coming to United, we were a little bit uninspired after, you know, having that big Premier League away day. But certainly a game that we could take it to them. And how do you fancy our chances against Luton on Saturday?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting encounter, I'd say. Yeah, when the draw came out, I guess like a lot of people, my instant thought was that's quite disappointing. But ever since, almost every time I thought about the game, it's kind of grown on me a little bit more. Especially the fact that it's, you know, sort of late to kick off on the BBC red button, which is pretty big time. And it's obviously going to be in front of, you know, as good as a full house, and it probably will sell out. So that's obviously going to make it quite a good watch, I would think. It's obviously a tough game. I think, you know, to give them the credit they probably deserve, Luton have been the absolute model of how you run a football club over the last sort of 7 or 8 years, you know, since kind of coming out of non-league, stabilising League Two, got promoted, blitzed their way through League One, and now they're just fairly comfortably establishing themselves as a League One, as a Championship club rather, and it looks ever so worryingly possible that they might just sneak into the top six in the Championship, and then who knows what might happen at the end of the season. But I think it's a game that you know, we can target the win from. I think some of the benefits are, I think it's obviously going to be decided on the night. There's not going to be a replay, so you know, I guess in terms of the tie, I wouldn't like our chances going back to Kenilworth Road. So, you know, it gives us a chance of, you know, if we can hold out and be, you know, be resilient and do all these things that we've talked about for sort of months on end, you know, they say the tie goes to penalties or it gets late in extra time, then, you know, you've always got the chance of nicking it. Obviously, they've got a good team, good quality sort of threaded throughout it, I think it's fair to say. And given that we're missing a few, it's obviously a difficult prospect, but yeah, it's one that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it'll certainly be an interesting one. Obviously, we had, you know, quite a history against Luton Town in fairly recent years. You know, playing them in League Two, for example. I think our last victory, if I'm not wrong, was against them in the FA Cup. I think the FA Cup third round in 2015 was the last time we beat Luton. I think there's a Donaldson winner in that game, Matt. So, yeah, how are you feeling about Saturday's game?
I feel pretty positive. It's always a bit hard after a result like last night because it feels like if we've been riding a bit of a wave, it just felt like last night maybe it started to dissipate a bit. Our home form is pretty good. We're certainly hard to beat at home. I think I've spoken about it a few times. I think the decision we made to narrow the pitch, I think they've tried to claim it's something to do with drainage or something like that. I don't buy any of that. I think it's a bit of old school thinking. I think Luton will have to find a way to combat that, to deal with that. We've shown earlier in the season been very good at shutting teams down on that pitch and keeping things really narrow. Like Tom says, no replays, so no kind of fear of Kenilworth Road, not a lot to lose. I also think their really decent recent form kind of benefits us in a sense because they will have a look at the playoffs. They will be thinking about that. They're definitely going to rotate things around. I think we might see a few old characters in the likes of Luke Berry and also the former Needham Market goalkeeper from the FA Cup game, James Shea, potentially. Or potentially Jed Steer. So there's going to be some familiar faces. One way or another. You can't not be excited for a 5:30 kickoff against Luton in the FA Cup fourth round. There's 9 other games in League One because they all haven't made it this far in the FA Cup. So for me, this is even rarefied territory. In my time watching United, we've never gone beyond the fourth round. So let's just enjoy it. I mean, it's sold out, Abbey, great atmosphere, no doubt. Luton will bring fill the South Stand and make a bit of noise as well. So it should just be a really good occasion. I think my one hope or my one ask is to please still be in the game after, you know, 60, 70 minutes. Let's either obviously things are going really well, or at least let's be in that football match so that we've got something to get excited about as we go down the stretch.
Yeah, certainly going to be some familiar faces. Tom, are you excited to see Luke Berry back at the Abbey?
Thanks for coming to me on this one, Jack. Yes and no. Look, I mean, I know that Luke Berry is a fantastic servant. Get all the caveats out the way that he played well for us, scored a lot of goals and all that sort of good stuff. I'm not going to go over old territory too much because I think we talked about this at length in probably previous times that we've played against Luton. But for me, and probably for quite a lot of other people, the way that he left the football club the second time around left quite a bitter taste. I'm not saying that was all because of him. The club was a different football club back then and it wasn't handled properly from our side either. But the fact that it was done so late, transfer requests were handed in. At the time, people would make the suggestion it was a sideways move, although at the time it was quite obviously Luke Berry moving from one sort of stagnant football club to one that's upwardly mobile. And I don't think anyone would look at the move that he's made and said that he made the wrong decision, of course. But I think the good thing about FA Cup games, they always have a bit of a narrative to them. And obviously Luke Berry coming back to the Abbey is one of those. And I know there's people who are going to listen to this and think that, returning hero, all that sort of stuff, got us promoted from the conference. We should be applauding him and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is he's going to be the pantomime villain and he's going to get abuse. And if he scores, he will give it back to us. So I think that's how it'll play out. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. I know when we played them at the Abbey, it would have been, probably five years ago now, maybe less. The one when there was like no other games on in the whole country and Ian Darlow managed to beat like a worldwide weather phenomenon to get the football match on. I seem to remember he scored a disallowed goal and looked absolutely gutted about it. So, it'll be an interesting one. Good, interesting to see how he reacts if and when he scores. But, I'm hoping it's not all about him and it's about our man that sits in the number 10 as well.
Yeah, certainly be interesting to see. There's going to be, like you say, narrative to these games. And there's a couple of other players. Cornick came back last night and scored the winner for Luton, assisted by Cameron Jerome. So there's definitely going to be some familiar faces out there and, some players who can turn a game. But just on Cambridge United, Matt, obviously slightly limited by injury, but would you give LT a start against Luton?
I'd be interested to see what we do. I think we need to give him a start at some point. I also think, I mean, the point I made earlier, the number of games we've had has been pretty wearing. I think we saw that, the evidence of that against Bolton. I think he'll shuffle as much as he can within reason, but we need to also respect, the fact we've got a sold out Abbey Stadium. We've got a seriously high caliber opponent. And a lot of prize money up for grabs as well. So it's potentially not only a chance to make maybe a small piece of history and move through the competition, but also the opportunity to get the prize money in and do a bit of hopefully they don't call it a giant killing, but do a bit of what I would call an upset, a mild upset to beat Luton as well. I think he'll rotate things around a bit and maybe we'll see Tolage either start, or no, I've ruined it, LT. He'll either start or certainly he'll get a good cameo. We're going to have to wait and see, I think, see what he comes up with.
Yeah, certainly interesting to see how United line up. Tom, do you think after such a good run in both Cup and League, after a league defeat, do you think this game is coming at quite a good time, after that Bolton defeat?
Yeah, possibly. I guess there's obviously those two ways of looking at it, that we might suffer a bit of a hangover from a good run then ended quite abruptly at Bolton. But the one thing that, we've said for the last 18 months, 2 years about Mark Bonner teams, is they always bounce back. So, I mean, look, going into a game against a team from who are doing well in the league above us, I'm not necessarily going to say I expect us to bounce back, because that would be maybe putting a bit too much pressure on and probably not the right way to look at the game. But I would expect us to show a bit more, we'll show at least fight, and it'll be competitive, I think, at worst. So, I wouldn't say it's a good time to play them, because I'm sure there's other people listening. I'm sure there's other people, who will talk about the game. I'm not a massive fan of playing Luton. It's one of those events that's always overhyped, overpoliced. It's a bit of a gimmick, really. I think that we obviously we're just sort of getting over, and then obviously we get them in the cup. But yeah, it'll be a good night on Saturday night. But we'll see how it goes. I'd like to think that we can get the cup set.
Yeah, score prediction from you, Tom, before we go.
I'm going to 1-0, and I'm going to have to go for Caspel's man, LT, getting the win.
LT, thank you, Tom, for joining us.
No problem at all, mate. Good to be back.
Caspel, from you.
I like when Tom said, let's see what happens when Luke Berry scores. So we're 3-0 up, and then Berry scores in the 91st minute, and we'll see what happens then.
Lovely stuff. See you in the fifth round.